We'll sing song number 490 here in a short bit. And I just kind of want to say a few things before we get into the slides. I thank Abe for helping me prepare our thoughts. We kind of sit together and kind of bring our thoughts together of what we want to speak on. And the thing that I wanted to speak on was, what is life? So that kind of gets us started with the topic that we kind of put together. A question that I've heard a lot is what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What is it all about? And what is the meaning of it all? That phrase is kind of termed by Western civilizations and cultures to define what is life. There's a couple comedians that put things together about what is life. There's a bunch of stories about... I'm reading a science fiction book, and in this book they build a computer to figure out what life is. And it took the computer millions of years to figure out what life is, and when they finally come back to the computer to figure out what life is, it just says 42, because they asked the question wrong. So that's kind of the thought that I'd like to have today, that people spend their lives figuring out what life is. And even in the Bible times, we see these things. So, of course, whenever we start a lesson like this, we kind of define the word that we're looking at. So, I looked up several definitions of what life is, and I came up with these two. Some of these are from dictionary.com, and some of these are from Merriam-Webster. So, Merriam-Webster says, the quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. That's pretty straightforward of what life is. I had a doctor in college, as one of my professors, ask the question, what is the difference between a live body and a dead body? I was like, that's kind of a strange question to ask. But she said, being a doctor, there is no difference. There's no difference. People are like, oh, well, there's blood pumping through the veins and everything. She's like, well, you know, you can hook the heart up to a pump and pump it through the veins. There is a difference between a dead and a live body. You know, then she would say that's our soul and everything. This is coming from a doctor. You know, this is the quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. And then another is the sequence of physical and mental experiences that make up an existence of an individual. So this one's even more specific, because this makes me an individual. Makes me different from everybody else. Also, I kind of relay that to, this helps me give choices. This lets me decide who I am and what I want to be. It's kind of free will, so to say. It makes me an individual. So, to kind of go along with what I was saying about the Western philosophical perspectives, and I don't know, people in high school have probably taken Western Civ classes, and I've had several Western civilization classes. So I thought about if I defined what exactly that meant. And according to the definition of what the Western philosophical perspective is, it's a philosophical perspective on the meaning of life and those ideological, which explains the terms and ideas of abstractions defined by humans. So that's kind of what I was looking for. Who is it defined by? It's defined by humans. Not God. Not anybody else. It's defined by humans. And there are two specific humans that kind of started this idea. So, the one of them is Plato. And this is a famous painting by Raphael. So I say not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, the painter. And this is a famous painting of the school at Athens. And Plato basically says, life is just you trying to find the idea of good. And basically, in his idea of what life is trying to find the highest form of knowledge. Well, you know, us from a religious perspective is, we know what the highest form of knowledge is, that being God. But he thought that that was something that he could strive to do himself. That he could find what the highest form, that highest form of knowledge, he could find and define himself without any other help, other than the help of the guy standing next to him, who was Aristotle. And Aristotle had the same idea. It's just the highest good, which is ascribed by its own sake and its own good. So this is achieving happiness, well-being, flourishing, and excellence. So these guys, they kind of wrote the book on the idea of what life is. Most of our textbooks and everything today still go back to what these people say what life is. So I think it's kind of funny when you read about these two guys, because they argued all the time about what life is. And not only did they argue about what life is, they argued about what happiness is. And they argued about what flourishing and excellence is. So they couldn't even define things themselves. So, you know, of course, this was a long time ago, and this is what these people believe. So, you know, these are a lot of questions out there that people have. I kind of just threw these up here. These are, if you just search for what the meaning of life is on the internet, you'll get more information, and it'll take you a lifetime to go through. So these are just some of the questions that I threw out there that people are constantly searching for. I think of when I was in high school, people are like, oh, well, don't you want to take a year off before you go into college to figure out, like, what life is and define your path and your goal? And I'm like, oh, I found it. So we can sum this up pretty easy here in a minute. So here's all these questions that people have that they're constantly trying to find. And, of course, when all these questions are listed, it normally lists something like, these questions are a result of a wide range of competing answers and arguments and scientific theories, philosophical, theological, and spiritual explanations. So people have always tried to define what life is. And there is all of these arguments about it. So what I did is I just typed in what is the meaning of life, and I found this post where people has just posted what they think the meaning of life is. And I just grabbed a few so we could kind of take a look at what just some people in the world describe what life is. I thought this was an interesting one. Out of the thousands that were there, I kind of just picked a couple. And one says, I race and I chase, also that I can make more money, have more success, and be more attractive, and hopefully be happier in some distant future when I have hit some superficial and randomly selected target. That kind of shocked me a little bit, because it's like the person was even aware that they're just going to hit this superficial randomly selected target. A lot of people not believing in God think there's a lot of randomness, random selection, and all that kind of stuff. I read that, and that kind of shocked me. You know, so I thought of Luke 12:15, where it talks about, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for life does not consist of abundance of things he possesses. That's kind of what I thought when I read that. I was like, wow, that, I don't know if that person considers themselves happy or not. That was kind of a shock. And also, I read a couple other ones that I kind of had to think about a little bit. And this one says, life's meaning is what it means to you. What do you value in life? Everyone has their own meaning and their own perception of life. Britannica says that it's a sequence of physical and mental experiences that make up an existence of an individual, one more aspect of those proceeding of life or a way or manner of living. The meaning of life to me is to live life any way I choose. So us thinking, wow, that's pretty good. But I kind of see this person says any way that he chooses. He chooses his own path, which is true. What I was talking about earlier, we choose our own path, but it seems like he was wanting to define what life is. So in order for us to define what life is, in order to say what path we should choose, I thought we should go to what God's Word, so we can kind of tie in these aspects here. So what is the meaning of life? What is it all about? And who are we? So in Abe's lesson, here he talked about man and about, you know, we came from dust and about the creation of us. And now we're talking about life, what life is and what we're supposed to do. So like I was saying earlier, you know, I was talking to my friends about instead of taking a year off and everything, there's a verse that makes this fairly easy. It's Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. And it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole manner. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. That verse right there pretty much will define everything that they were looking for and everything that they were striving to take a year off to find. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Whether people wanted to believe that this was the choice or not, or what I was telling them, they're like, oh, I don't really believe what you're saying, Kyle, because you're reading this from the new Kyle Jones version. It's like, I've never looked at it that way. And also what makes things worse is they came out with the revised King James Version. If anybody knows, my first name's Richard. So it would be the RKJ version. So, and I was like, this isn't coming from me. This is coming from the Word of God. This is coming, it says, for this is man's all. Now, I didn't write that, other than what people believe. I didn't write that. So, that pretty much well defines what we're here for. So, what is the value of life? We pretty much well said what life is, but what is the value of life? And to kind of go along those lines, if we look back in Psalms 103, 15 through 18, it says, as of man, this day are like grass, a flower in the field, so he flourishes. So I think of my grass before the drought. For the wind passes over it and it is gone. So this is after the drought. And it's the place remembers it no more. So I think of like when I mow the lawn, cut the grass, the wind blows, it's in the neighbor's lawn at that point. You know, it's gone. You know, the grass, it's just gone from that area. So that's what the Bible's saying, this is what man's life is like. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him and His righteousness to the children's children. So we already talked about fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. So we know what we're here for. And we know that His mercy is everlasting. So it says, to such as keep His commandments and do those who remember His commandments to do them. So we know to do His commandments. And we know that we're not going to be here forever. You know, it says that we're like the grass that is just kind of blown away with the wind. That we have just this short life here and what we should do during our life. We know that His grace is everlasting. That in His mercy is everlasting. So, to go along with that, there's another verse that's on this same topic. And this is what my mom was this verse to me when we were... when Abe was giving his, and I was like, well, I asked Abe not to say this one because it was going to be in mine. James 14, 13 through 15 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit. So I see this as people saying, oh, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. But they're not planning or thinking ahead. And it says, where do you not know that what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You know, what an important statement to make. You know, I see people as wanting to go out and to do all these things. And, you know, they can, but remember, it's kind of like we report to the Lord. You know, what we say, what we do, all should be in the name of the Lord. So, when we say we ought to go do this and do that, we always got to keep in mind that our life is to live for God. That we ought to do it. That we say, you know, if the Lord wills. And that's something that I've always appreciated us here saying. And it's something that ever since I was little, I always remember Glenn always saying it. You know, and what an important verse that makes that impact. If the Lord wills. So, also, in John 3:36, where it talks about those who believe in God. It says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. So this goes on with the meaning of life. That if we believe in him, we'll have everlasting life. So what a great purpose to live for, to do his will and you'll have everlasting life. It's not like this life is just meaningless and when we're dead, we're just gone. We know that there's a whole lot more to what we're doing and what we're striving to be. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. So we know that we can have that everlasting life. So what is the significance of life? I'm kind of touching on all these questions that we had. To go along with what is the significance of life, let's look over at Luke 10:27. And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so now we're looking back at our life, at this body that Abe was talking about, that we were created. So we have a heart, we have soul, we have strength, and we have this mind. And we should use every ability of it to love God and our neighbor. So we have all of these aspects of life that we can use. We can use our minds, our strength, our heart, and our soul. And to kind of go along with the soul, you know, that kind of is what people describe as what our life is and what this essence is that we have that makes us individual. And it talks about the spirit and the soul. I'm not really going to get into the definitions and dividing of the spirit and the soul. That could be a lesson in itself. I was looking into having a little bit about it, but I was already starting to get up to like 30 slides, and I was like, whoa, we'd be here all evening. So we have this heart, this soul, this strength, and this mind that can help us live life the way we ought to for God. So in Thessalonians, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay. So now this is back talking about our body and our soul and our spirit. These are things that make us up. These are things that we ought to protect. These are things that we have that God gave us to use in this life for this short period of time that we're here. You know, I was thinking if I was to keep track of the notes that I wanted, I guess, to get across the most would be, you know, we are given these things from God and we are shown a way to use them. And this verse has always stuck out to me in the way that, you know, I had a whole series of studies on wars and Bible wars. So we talked about a sword quite a bit. And it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." So in that study, we talked a lot about the Romans. The Romans always carried two-edged swords because they could be offense and defense. So I think of this sword piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit. There is not a physical sword that can do that. There is not a physical piece of metal on this earth that can pierce that. And of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So I always think of when I hear something, or when somebody says something to me out of the Bible that really hits you, you can feel that impact you. You know, some people always say, you know, that feeling of sinking. You know, that feeling of, oh man, yeah, that's right. That's what I always kind of considered this verse to be. Like that, those words really just pierced your soul and your mind and your thoughts and your body, even though that it wasn't a physical sword. And to think of life, we're given our life so we can feel that, so we know about that division of our soul and our spirit. And this even says the joints and the marrow. I've never donated bone marrow, but I've heard that it's the most painful operation you can go through, and not the person receiving the marrow. I heard it's more painful for the person giving the marrow. And just to think about that, they wrote that during this time, talking about bone marrow. So, with all that said, we kind of looked at what the world's view was earlier. We've seen these comments that people made that seem to be that they think life has really nothing to do other than make more money, to look better, to strive for all these things that were listed. But out of those thousands of comments that people made, there was a couple other comments that I found that were interesting. One guy, kind of as a rebuttal to all those other people's comments, said, "Any Christian should know the purpose of life is simple, to serve God. Any Christian who doesn't need to build up their relationship with God, he'll show you what you need to know." So out of the thousands of comments, there's only about one or two that I thought, wow. You know, when you read through all these things of what people thought life was about, what people thought that the soul and everything was for, and then you see a couple people say things like this, and then one person even came a little more clear than that, and it says the true meaning of life is to love and serve God. I started thinking, wow, that's directly to the point. Just basically the verses that I read earlier. What was the whole purpose and duty of man and of our life? that God has given us. So let's look over Philippians, because I started thinking, so if we look at our lives and the things that we were given to do, God put us on this earth and He gave us life and we are to serve Him. That's basically the steps that we've taken up to here so far. And I think of our life as Christians and how we live life as Christians. So here in Philippians, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." This is a verse that I like to bring up quite a bit, because as Christians, we have this to go to in our lives. We have a way to ease our soul and our mind and our spirit and our body, because we can take things to God. And it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will gird your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So we have this place to go to ease our life, our soul, our body, our mind, our strength, everything that was listed. We have this place to go to. We have this person that we can pray to. And it says, "The peace of God surpasses all understanding." To be able to have this peace in life, to be able to go to have this ability to be relaxed, you can go to Him in prayer. And I was thinking when I was reading through all those people's comments about what they said life was, there wasn't a single person that seemed to be peaceful about what they were saying. But the people that made comments towards God were pretty simple, straightforward, and they seemed to be very peaceful in what they were saying. And that's true with just about everything that I was reading while I was researching this. If you read, go back and read about Plato and Aristotle, they didn't have very peaceful lives, because all they struggled was to find answers to things that didn't exist. They spent their whole lives trying to fight for those things. And also in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So as Christians, and that we're living our lives this way, there's no need to be ashamed to stand up to be a Christian. Other people might not have faith or whatever that they're working in. But if you have faith, and be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker does not need to be ashamed. So there is nothing for us to be ashamed in. There's nothing for us to feel bad about being a Christian. We can go through life and have this peace, because that's what we are, a worker. Abe's mentioned several times in our classes, what's the highest, basically, form of Christianity we could ever strive to be? And it would be to servant. It'd be a servant. It would be the highest thing that we could strive to be. So I think of these things, a worker. So we're striving to be this person, especially not to be ashamed. So in John 3:15, it also talks about that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That was just a topic that I had mentioned on earlier, this idea of everlasting life. In most of Western psychology views, there is nothing really after this life. There's no peace. There's no eternal life. But looking at Christianity, we have this eternal life. Our soul that's given us can move on to heaven. You know, and I think of that, you know, we believe in Him, we shall not perish, but everlasting life. You know, and I think of all the things that science is doing right now, trying to disprove, you know, what life is. I read a lot of science things, so I'll try to keep that to a minimum, but there's what's called the Hadron Collider. I don't know if anybody's read a lot about that, where it's a particle acceleration engine that smashes particles together. But they're trying to find what they call the God particle, or the Higgs boron. And they're trying to use that to define what life is and where we came from. If they would just focus on other things, if they would just focus on what God gave us, and these things are not trying to find these other ways of life. I mean, it could take centuries and centuries, and they'll probably never find it, but that they're looking for, and all of these thousands of dollars and people spending their lives towards these things, it just kind of blows my mind when I think about it. And that's kind of what I wanted to bring this for today. So, in kind of conclusion, to kind of pull these thoughts together, I think of the definition of life. Like I said, Plato, Aristotle, and a lot of the Western psychology views they define what life is. But to me, that's not up to us. Life is defined by God. That's from Ecclesiastes 12. We can come up with what we think we can define what life is. But God defines what life is, and that's what we should follow. And what is the purpose of life? Also, that was something defined by God, not something that was defined by us. It was love God and do His commandments. It's what we had studied in the verses that we had just read. So, this is also another question that people constantly look for. What is the reason to live? And what are we living for? And to go along with that, we read these verses that talk about eternal life. I can't think of anything better to live for. Something better to strive for. So, whenever I think of these questions that people submit, I've actually seen them on people's t-shirts recently. I don't know why, but I've been starting to see a lot of people just starting to raise these questions. You know, maybe even people that are depressed or in depression say, you know, why live or why do this? And there is so much that God has given us to live for and to work for. These things. We have all of these abilities that God has given us. And the reason to live is so that we can have eternal life. But we have to do the things and the things that are commanded of us in order to get there. So when we think of what life is and what He gave us, this wasn't something that was defined by us. It was defined by God. So in order to get eternal life, Jesus gave us steps to follow to be able to meet eternal life. And those steps are repeated several times, and baptism being one of the main ones. That baptism, that submersion in water to receive eternal life, that washing away of sins. And at this time, if you would like to receive eternal life, to work hard for the reason that God gave us, please come forward as we stand and sing.